Hey, sports dads, are you ready for the best combination of fatherhood and football talk? Well, let's go.
It's that time to have a conversation about fatherhood and football and relation. Ready, set, hut, grab your kids and huddle up. We might get deep, but just run it up the gut. So put your jersey on and clap for the home team. It's the dad's thing, yeah, you know what I mean. So tell a friend to tune in if you heard me to the best show in town every Thursday. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football.
Welcome to a Dad's Thing podcast, Fatherhood and Football. I am James Simmons, your in-studio host dad of two amazing daughters. I'm a former middle school, high school, and college football coach, as well as a former wide receiver at D1AA Fordham University in the Bronx. Today we are joined by Jason Collins. Jason was a season removed from a Section 5 championship in high school when he came to Iona College as a quarterback. This was the 1998 season in which I served as the wide receiver coach. Jason has stayed close to the game, joining the staffs of his high school, Grace Olympia, Rochester Raiders indoor pro team for three seasons, then the coach of Henrietta Central as an assistant for seven seasons before taking over the head coaching position in 2016. Today, Jason and his wife are raising their beautiful daughter and having a blast with football still. Jason, thank you for being on the show, man.
All right, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, listen. First of all, let me do this. Coach Collins, okay? although I coached you for a year, coached on the staff at Iona College for a year, you were just sharing with me, you've been in coaching for 20 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is my 20th season, yeah.
My goodness. So from coach to coach, I just had to share that and show you that respect. So I appreciate you being on the show again, man. And you're in the middle of a season right now. So it means a lot to me that you are taking a little bit of time out from preparation and all of that to spend a little bit of time with coach. So how's things going? Are you ready to go? It's the playoffs.
It is. We finally got some guys back healthy. I've never seen an injury bug like we had. And, this is our second season in the calendar year. So we've played a lot of football this year, and our kids have done a great job. And I love football time because you can move on from the regular season. Everybody's 0-0. It's a fresh start. And my message this week was anything can happen. And why not us? You know, we're going to go on the road to a higher seed team, a team that's playing really good football. And all the pressure's on them. It's their home field. They're the higher seed. So our guys are ready. You know, we got one more day of prep, and then we'll go let it rip Friday night.
Let it rip, be loose, and, just let the training and the practice take over. You know, and that's what we are as coaches, as players. We prepare, we train, and then when game day comes, we just let it go. I wish you and the kids and your school all the luck in that game. Now, you mentioned two seasons in one calendar year. We are in some different times in the last almost 24 months. How was that, having two seasons in a 12-month period?
It was anything but normal back in March. Here in New York, they tried squeezing every season into the calendar year. So I actually had about 4 days where I was doing football practice at 7 a.m. so that I could go coach middle school basketball at 4 p.m.
Wow.
And then we went about 10 days with a crossover with basketball and wrestling at the varsity level. So we really didn't have our whole team there to start that spring season until 3 days before our first game. And of course, we had to play our rival the first game. The kids haven't played in about 18 months, and we went out there and won and played some good football. It was nice. We had 13 sophomores that we played in the spring. So, you know, while it was a shortened 6-game season, you know, that was a lot of football for those guys.
Right.
So when we started our off season and our summer this year and coming into the season, you know, those sophomores had like a spring ball almost leading up to this season. And they've done a nice job carrying us this year. So it was challenging in the spring. We're the only school in our county that doesn't have a turf field. So we were getting on a bus at 6 o'clock at night, going to another school district. It was 8 degrees and windy and snowy. But our kids, it was football, man. And for the first time in 18 months, we were together on a football field and playing football. So, you know, it was interesting to say the least. And then you got about 4 months and we turn around and we're right back at it again in August and back in fall football, which is nice.
Good stuff. You know, I in my career, I played 11 years through, you know, Pee Wee up into college, 11 years straight that I played. I only had 3 games taken away from me due to injury and I couldn't play. And I know how I was raring, you know, to get going, you know. So to have a lot of the adversity, you know, that the kids went through just to get some games in, that's really going to build a lot of resilience. And, you know, you said it was like having a spring ball, you know. Yep. And from you being a college player, been around, you know, some bigger league, you know, type stuff, you know, how did you, you know, use that to tell the guys, hey, this is what it's like at the next level?
Absolutely. You know, we had some guys on our team that were looking to play college ball and that graduated there a couple months ago. And then we have some guys on our team now looking to play it. And, you know, I told them, I said, you know, if you go to school in the Northeast, you're going to get some cold weather. I said, and you're only cold until you step in between the lines. You know, you're cold when you get off the bus or you walk out of the school. When you're in between the lines, your mind shifts to football. And you got to be locked in and focused, and you forget how cold it is or how wet it is or how snowy it is. And it's all business. And, you know, I told them, I said, this is a great opportunity for the young guys to get a lot of experience and extra practices in. We, New York State, they got rid of the 7-day rule. You're not allowed to go 7 days in a row, and they got rid of that. So we got to practice, you know, almost 20 straight days at one point in our season, which gave us extra football for the kids. And, you know, they loved every minute of it.
I bet. You know, you bring me back, you know, and I love these conversations because you bring me back to some of the stuff. And you talked about it's only cold until you step within the lines. You know, I tell my kids today, you know, my last football game was at Holy Cross, you know, and we played in the snow. And the only thing that was clear was the marking lines so we could see, you know, every 5 yards. We couldn't even get the little ones. So I try to tell them how tough I was in the cold. But I'm a New York guy, right? But I think my blood has thinned out a little bit out here on the West Coast. But, you know, a great experience for those guys to really get a glimpse of what it's like at the next level. I did a little bit of coaching on the high school level of football and also flag football. And one of the things I tried to give the kids was just a little bit about what it's like at the next level, to give them a glimpse, to give them prepared. So when they get there, it's like, I know what this is about. So great experience for those guys. So, you know, you got... When's your next game, your playoff game? When are you guys getting ready for that?
Yeah, we're Friday night.
Friday night.
We'll be on the road. So, yeah, we get one more day of work in, and then Friday night we play.
Good deal. Want to ask you this and pick your mind as a head coach. You know, with the adversity, how did that have to change your mindset? Like, this isn't normal. How did you go into that as a head coach to say, we got to get ready, we got to figure it out?
In the spring?
Yeah.
You know, last August or 2 Augusts ago, before the season got canceled there, they were trying to delay the season. And what I did is I said, how can I keep our guys involved? Because all summer long, we weren't allowed to see them. And so we were doing a lot of the Zoom meetings, you know, a lot of our installs. We were giving them home workouts to do. And, you know, you kept that little glimmer of hope you were going to play. So I wanted to keep our kids engaged. And when we found out in August that it was going to be a no-go, I immediately contacted a bunch of college coaches that I know through the recruiting, being a head coach, guys that I know, you know, through the game of football. And we had them come on once a week. So every Tuesday night, we would have a college coach come on and talk to our kids about the game of football, and keep them connected. And the messages each week, you know, we did it for 8 weeks, and the messages were incredible. You know, and it just wasn't football. It was life. It was being a student, you know, talking about the pandemic and hearing it from someone else instead of me. And even some of the guys had connections to the Rush Henrietta community, and it was great. And then, you know, when we heard it was going to get delayed to March, they let us start working out in small pods. And so we kind of built up to it, getting our kids back in there, getting them involved. But what we never did is we never shut off communication from them. we let them know through the whole pandemic that number one, we're here for you as people. If you need someone, we are a phone call away. And then as well as the football piece of always keeping them, you know, we wanted them to think about football, but not be obsessed with football. But the pandemic posted a lot of challenges for different families in a lot of different ways.
Right.
For me as a football coach, you know, I had to find that balance of, I don't want to overload them with football, because football, while it's important to us, it's not the most important thing. So once we got to March, you know, the staff did, I have a great staff. You know, they were prepared, and we had a plan. We knew it was going to be a short preseason because there's no double sessions anymore. And they also cut down the amount of days in the preseason. So we had one full week, and then we were in game week.
Wow.
And so, you know, we had to follow all the COVID protocols. And like I said, going off campus to practice posed some challenges as well. But at the end of the day, you know, we are very organized. We're planned. And we had a great plan of attack, and everybody did a great job, from our assistant coaches to our trainer to our strength coach. And of course, the kids did a great job. And once we started, for me as a head coach, it wasn't normal. But what I did is I tried to make it as normal as possible with the way we practiced. And we didn't change our expectations. We just kept full steam ahead. And the kids did a great job in how they responded.
Right. You know, I love the fact that it wasn't just the football. Because, A, football is important, right? Because when we don't have those things that we normally have, our routines, you know, we can fall off. You know, we can get into a little bit of trouble. But the fact that it's not going to be all football, it's going to be about life. It's going to be about these relationships, and about us coming together. And that's what I love about the game and what it's given to me. You know, you were able to reach out to numerous coaches on the next level to give these kids something that they may not have had if this didn't happen. Right. And I know I called you, hey, come on the show. And you said, coach, no problem. You know, and that's what the football experience has given us as players and now as coaches. So
absolutely,
I love it. I appreciate it. You know, I'm in child development first and foremost, you know, so I always look at it from that perspective of developing young men in the game of football. So love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I got to go back a little bit, take off the coach's hat and put on the QB's hat. 1998, freshman coming on the campus of Iona. What was going through your mind?
Oh man, first of all, was I hope we have Nike sneakers. I remember being on my recruiting visit and asking Coach Fahey, when I was sitting in the conference room, you know, what kind of sneakers do you wear? Because I'm a Nike sneakerhead. I have like 60 pairs of Nikes, and he said Nike, and so I think he got right Nike, and then the diner across the street sold me on going to Iona. But you know, I thought I was prepared physically for college football. And when I got there and realized the grind of college football, that next off season, I knew I had to up the game a little bit. And then, you know, in the late 90s in high school football, there wasn't as much film study. The defenses weren't too complicated. I played on a very dominant team my senior year. You know, where we won the school's only sectional title. We were undefeated. So when I came to Iona, I knew a lot, but really digging into those X's and O's, I was really overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember, you know, coach saying, you know, it was me and another freshman quarterback. We were it. So here, hey, book, man, you got 2 weeks to learn it. And, you know, it was very overwhelming at first. But it made it that much more important for me to pay attention in those meetings, you know, quarterback meetings, the offensive meetings, you know, rely on the coaches, rely on the veteran players, you know, and the coaches did a good job. They knew there'd be some growing pains with us as two freshman quarterbacks, and we both played in every game that year.
Yep.
We both had different skill sets, and, you know, as we went on, we got more comfortable. But I'll be honest, the football piece, the X and the O's, I tell guys right now, it wasn't until my junior year where I was like, man, I don't need to look in that playbook. I know it like the back of my hand. And that's through off-season stuff and whatnot. So it was overwhelming walking in as a freshman, seeing some of these guys who had played 3 or 4 years of 1AA football. you know, coach, you know, did a great job of preparing us. But it was a challenge. And I had to deal with being homesick at the same time. You know, I remember calling my mom in tears, you know, my freshman and my sophomore year being away from home. But, you know, I stuck to it and I trusted coach's word, and I'm glad I stayed there all 4 years.
Yeah. Coach Mariani is he's a gem, you know, in this Absolutely. Football world, just beloved by so many, and has helped so many young men, be who they are today, you know.
And absolutely,
I can, you know, I can totally relate to what you just said, because the playbook you had was the same playbook I had, you know, at Fordham. And it wasn't until I was actually coaching in 98 that I realized I knew much more than I had given myself credit for, because it took me about 3 years as well to be like, I know what I'm supposed to do on every play, but to really visualize what the other four guys, you know, are running routes and how that connected. It really took a little bit of time because it was different, you know, and you said it, that jump from high school to college. It's different. You know, you're the man in college, but everybody's in high school. But once you make that jump, everybody's just as fast, as big, and you got to put in the effort to work hard to get to be that player you want to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
So thanks for taking me back down memory lane a little bit about that. And, you know, I remember, you know, a lot of the same things that you remember at Iona. We were the first full-time staff. All the other staffs were part-time, you know, so Coach Mariani came, first full-time head coach. He brings us on as staff, and we were able to really implement the program that he wanted to see. And you had 4 years, you know, how was it for you throughout those years? And what are some of the things that you take from there? And I know you've got other coaching experiences as well, but what were some of the things you took from Iona, your time there?
You know, starting with my freshman year with that first staff, seeing a coach hire former players, you know, you and Coach Gratian were there the first year. Coach Bailey came on. Coach Boris came on after that, you know, and a few other coaches that coached with him at Fordham there. Just seeing that, number one, you knew there was a trust. You know, there was a trust between the head coach and the assistant coaches. And you never, you know, and I'm sure behind the scenes, coach had his finger on everything, the pulse of everything, but he let you guys coach and he knew, your work ethic in college. He knew what kind of people you were. And that's something, you know, when you reached out to me, I started thinking about, you know, I walked in there not knowing anybody, and it didn't matter to the coaches. It didn't matter who you were. If you were there for your senior year, your freshman year, you guys had nothing but respect for us. You built this up. You were honest with us, which is the other thing. There was nothing that was hidden. There's no lies, you know, honest and upfront. And the big thing I took away, you know, not only that first year, but all the years, is these coaches, all of you guys, genuinely cared about us as people. When I walked into the office during the day, whether it was season or off season, the first question out of people was, you know, how's your family?
Yeah.
You know, Coach Mariani, how's your mom? How's your brother? How's your dad? How's school? You know, how's classes going? Do you need anything? You know, and you would have a 15, 20 minute conversation in the office with you guys and never talk about football. And, you know, it was nice to see that side where, hey, yeah, they're my coaches, but they're also people that care. And, you know, having a lot of younger guys on staff that had just gone through it, I think gave us a lot of confidence, you know, in trusting you guys. And, you know, I know I'm in the right place and we're doing the right thing here. So, you know, all 4 years there, you know, I felt respected. I felt cared for by every guy, every new coach that came in. And I think it all starts with Coach Marion. You know, he's a big, big influence on me in college. And, you know, wanted what's best for me as a person first, and then a student, and then an athlete. And, you know, that's something that I take with me today.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the goal, you know, to love people, right? Football is what we do, you know what I mean? But it's bigger than that. And I know even there, because again, you know, you and I are a couple of years apart. You know, I was, you know, just a graduate out of college when I came on, and the lessons that I learned of how to prepare, be professional. But the biggest thing, and I always tell anybody when I talk about Coach Mariani, is it's always family first. You know,
absolutely.
There was things that I had to do in the background. He said, you know what? Football will still be here when you get here. So take your grandma to that doctor's appointment and be there for her. And that's how I do it today. Never forgotten that. So yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff. Good stuff. And that's the stuff that you bring, you know, to these young folks, you know, today, you're coaching. Want to ask you a little bit more about, you know, some of your other coaching experiences. A question that I wanted to ask because I saw it and it was very interesting. What is it? The Rochester Raiders indoor football?
The Rochester Raiders was a arena football team that we had here. And, you know, it started off and I watched it on the local TV channels a few times, and a former running back, one of the best running backs in Greece Olympia history, Eddie Long, he was actually UConn's leading rusher when he graduated, playing for Skip Holtz back in the day. He took over as head coach, and you know, a year went by and I said, man, this looks like fun. I love arena football, number one. And I love football. So, and it was during the off season from high school. So I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, I'm interested. I don't want to be paid. I don't even have to travel. I just want to come to practice and see what it's all about. And so, you know, I went to tryouts, started coaching. And that first day I thought I would just kind of walk around and see what's going on. And he said, you got your whistle in your car? I said, yep. He said, here's a hat and a shirt, get your whistle. I'm going to send you a group of guys and you're going to start coaching for us. 2 weeks later, he said, get on the bus. We're going to Chicago for a game. So, you know, he ended up seeing what I brought to the table, ended up as a paid coach and coached 3 seasons there. We won a championship. We're undefeated there. Got to coach some great players. And it was just different. It was a lot different than high school. You know, you practice 3 days a week. You're traveling. You're playing in a game, coaching in a game, then traveling back in the middle of the night. I went to a lot of towns I never knew existed. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But once again, you know, Eddie was, you know, from the same high school as I. He played Division I football. He played arena football. And I have a lot of respect for him. And I got to coach with him during that time and got to know him even better. And, you know, just like all the coaches I've played for and coached with, you know, he's a better person, you know, than a coach. He, you know, it's just he's a great coach, but a better person.
Gotcha.
And he gave me an opportunity. Yeah. And a few years ago, he was the head coach for the local all-star team here for high school. And he asked if I'd coach with them. So that was pretty cool that he thought of me. I had 8 players that year playing that game. So I got to go coach them another time. So, you know, there's a lot of fun stories from coaching arena football. we could probably do a whole nother podcast on it.
In the off season, I'll call you back and we may do that.
Yeah. But you know, to see you coach that at that level, you know, with some of the guys we had, it was special and it was, some great memories.
Yeah. You know, I remember watching a little bit of the arena football stuff and I always thought, I said, maybe I could have done that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Fun stuff to watch. But you know, you've said it, you're a football guy, you know, and, would you say some folks are just born to be coaches or head coaches, as averse to, you know, people just, you know, stumble along it?
No, I think you hear stories of all different paths to coaching football. You know, I'll be honest, I never thought about coaching football until I graduated at Iona. I didn't know what I was going to do because I didn't have a job. I had gone to, you know, different combines and tryouts and it didn't work out. And I'm like, how am I going to stay involved in football? It is me. Football is me. And the game meant so much to me and gave me so many opportunities. And, you know, I moved home like the second week of August and I called my coach and from high school and said, can I just come be a part of something? Once again, you know, reaching out. And he's like, I got a paid job as a JV defensive coordinator. So, you know, right then I'm like, all right, I'm into this coaching thing. And, you know, I was hooked. I was hooked.
Yeah.
So I think everybody has a different path to it. you know, as a player, you're so caught up into what you have to do as a player in high school and especially college. And that when that ends, it's very humbling.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary of what am I going to do? I've been engulfed in football for all these years and now it's not here. So I was very fortunate enough to get into coaching right away. And, you know, here I am in year 20 now.
Man, year 20, still doing it. And you're not doing it alone. You have your wife, you have your daughter. You know, how does that work for you, the balance, and having them be a part of it, if they want to be a part of it? How does that look for you?
Yeah. Well, if we go back, you know, we're going on our 11th year of marriage. And when we started dating, I told her I'm a football coach. I coach high school football. And at the time I was coaching arena football and going to the playoffs. And I said, you know, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm probably going to be traveling and whatnot. And the first season we had of us, you know, being together, you know, we lost in the semifinals and she saw how hard I took it. And then the following year, we won a state title. We practiced all the way and played Thanksgiving weekend. And I remember her saying, is this how it's always going to be? And I said, what we did this year is going to be very hard to do again.
Yeah.
Only two public schools in our area have ever won a state title, or one of them. And she's not a very sports person to say. So at home, there's a great balance. Because I'm in it all the time with football. And when I come home, I don't have to talk about it. I don't have to explain it. I can just be dad and husband. And my wife is incredible. She supports me in everything I do because she knows it's a passion of mine. And my daughter being 9 years old, as she got older, she saw how much time and effort I put into it. But also, as she got older, I got to bring her to practices. So during the winter, I would bring her in the gym with us.
Yeah.
So she could see, number one, what I'm doing when I'm not home. And also it was a chance for her to see how my players work. I love her being at practice. She was at our scrimmage this August. I love her being able to watch our guys work. And that's what they do. They work and they work very hard. And I explained to her, you know, why they work hard, because they want to improve. They want to be better. I said, but at the same time, they're also really good students in the classroom. We have some incredible student athletes. And so I can make that connection with them. And as I come home, she asks questions. Did your guys work hard today? Did they have a good practice today? Did you yell at them today? I said, I never yell. I speak loudly so they can hear me. You know, but there's, you know, the balance, there's a great balance here at home, great support system here. I say it all the time. My wife is the MVP, not only during football season, but when I'm coaching middle school basketball. And, you know, I'm just as busy during the off season with football and stuff. And she gets it. She gets it. And I love her support and understanding. And, you know, I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah. Well, amen to that. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, that your partner and going to the games. And I see the three of you in the pictures. And I think I mentioned a little early, you know, whether it's win, lose, or draw, you know, those are your foundations, your rocks. And there's always a smile on your face, at least on the pictures on Facebook when I see it.
Absolutely. You know, I come home. If we play a home game, we play in the daytime and I come home and there's drawings and there's messages in the driveway with chalk. And I come inside and there's a banner up and there's pictures that she draws me. And, you know, it's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You come home and that's family time.
Yeah.
I love it.
And enjoy it. We all know it goes by quickly, especially with little ones. You and I are in the same, age bracket with our girls. Just enjoy it as much as we can. Definitely.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, the lessons you've learned, you know, and I love how, you know, she asked you those questions. Did the guys work hard? You know, was practice good? You know, and things of that nature. Are there any other things that the game of football has given to you that you're able to share with her to help her growth process?
You know, absolutely. I think it's more of, you know, my demeanor. And, you know, I was taught in high school and in college to always be level-headed, because there's a lot of adversity in football. There's a lot of challenges, in practice and in games. And as much as you prepare in the game of football, there's always something that pops up that's going to test your reaction and your response.
Always.
And, you know, I talk about it now as a coach. It doesn't matter if it's ups, downs, if it's positive or negative. It's how are you going to respond that's going to define you in that moment. And I think, you know, it's the same thing in having a child. You can read all those books. You can have all the people tell you about having a kid and raising a kid, but every child is unique and every situation is different and things pop up that you're not prepared for. And it's been a challenge for me to keep a level head and not fly off the handle and panic at times. It's been really challenging, but you know, my time as a quarterback, you know, I've had those good games and I've had the bad games. And in life, you have those good days and you have the bad days. And when I come home and I look at my daughter, I have to remember, you know, she's not the reason for X, Y, and Z taking place. And I know she's looking at me and my demeanor and how I handle adverse situations, you know, whether it be on the football field or as a teacher, as a dad, as a husband, you know, and whatnot. And so, you know, I think all those challenges in football and how I handled those, you know, carry over to now being a dad and you know, guiding her down the path of life, which is more challenging than ever.
Yeah, definitely. Especially as they get older, like you said, there's always something different, you know, and I've been told parenting doesn't get easier. It just gets different, you know, and
absolutely.
I think you just spoke to that. Even in the game of football, you know, there's mm-hmm. always something that's going to happen that's going to test your response, your resolve, and your go get itness, you know, how you go after it and respond to something that's adverse. Yep. That's one of the things I've loved about the game, because you're a quarterback, you know, you'd be throwing the ball to me, you know, and I tell folks, for every play we have, you know, we can run it a whole lot of different ways depending on what that defense does. And we have to be able to adapt and adjust to make it successful. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. This is coming from my quarterback, you know, in college, you know, 20 years coaching, you know, and just loving life. And again, I love being able to see you do your thing, the stuff that you give us on Facebook. And that's been a great connector for me, because these relationships of football are important. And, you know,
absolutely.
I'm on the West Coast, you're on the East Coast, you know, so we're far apart, but are still able to have a connection.
Absolutely. I tell our guys all the time, they might not realize it right now as a high schooler, but, you know, I love sports. Sports are great, but there's just something different about the game of football. The relationship between the coach and the player, you know, is so much different than any other sport. And, you know, that just doesn't end when you graduate. And that's in a couple of weeks when we have our banquet. You know, when we say goodbye to our seniors, we always tell them, you know, you are one of our players forever. And, you know, you're always going to come back and call us coach. You know, I play golf with my high school football coach all the time. I call him Coach Hill, you know, and, you know, I call Coach Marianne, Coach Marianne, you're Coach Simmons, like that forever, you know, once you have that relationship with your coach and your teammates, football, that fraternity, you hear it all the time. The fraternity of football is just strong. And nothing can tear it apart. And, you know, the game can teach you so much. And it's a great game. So,
and you know, I'm glad that you got bit by the bug when you did to want to be a coach, because not only are you a coach, but you're an educator, you know, mm-hmm. and you're preparing not just football players that you coach, but kids in the classroom, you know, and all of the things that you're talking about, your demeanor, role modeling, you know, just the calm and cool and being prepared for obstacles in life. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that you're teaching your students as well. So your net, you know, is huge, and the impact that you're having is phenomenal, you know. So
I am, when I started thinking about what I was going to say, I'm in a incredible position. I'm a dad and a husband. I'm a varsity high school football coach. I coach seventh and eighth grade basketball. And I work in a kindergarten through third grade building as a second grade teacher. And I get to work with all kinds of different people, all age groups, from all kinds of backgrounds. We have an incredibly diverse school district and school that I work in. And I'm very fortunate to be able to, you know, like you said, have that impact on you know, not only second graders, not only my 9-year-old daughter, not only my seventh and eighth grade basketball players, not only my 9th through 12th grade, you know, football players. So I don't take that for granted. I think it's very special. I take it very serious. And the one common theme, and we talked about it before, is just building those relationships. Those second graders come in that first day, they're going to know I love and care about them from day one and you know, going forward. And it's nice to go to the middle school and the high school, and I see all my former students, and they come up to me. They don't hide. You know, you might get a couple shy ones, but they don't hide. And I think they come up to me and say hello, and they're excited to see me, and it's genuine. And that makes me feel really good about what I did for them in the classroom. So very fortunate.
Yeah. Every now and again, I'll run into a young man, you know, that I've worked with in my line of nonprofit, running residential programs, helping kids, you know, in juvenile justice system, drug and alcohol, 5, 6, 7 years later, and they'll bump into me, and it's always, "Hey, Mr. Simmons," you know what I mean? And I think that shows that respect that you give, you know, to that young person, and that love, that authenticity, and just care for them. And it carries on, you know what I mean? So keep doing it, man. Keep doing it. I want to give you this, man. The game of football, really important in your life. You know, you're able to pour into so many folks. What would you like to leave the audience about this game, what it's given you, and what you're able to give? What would you like to leave the audience?
You know, the game, if you respect the game, you're it'll respect your back. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And it can open up a lot of opportunities. You know, there's a lot of negativity about the concussions, about injuries. But if you really dig deep and do your research, the game is safer than ever. And you hear stories all the time about opportunities that it opens up, you know, not, you know, from kids all over, from the inner city to the suburbs, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Now even into some other countries where football is growing. The opportunities to network with people, to learn about being on a team. Because like I said, football is a different sport. It'll humble you a little bit, but what you put in is what you get out of it. And I always tell our guys, there was a coach that coached a while before me who said, effort equals results. And the bigger that effort is, the bigger results you're going to get. And, you know, football taught me a lot, gave me a lot of great opportunities. I probably went to a college that I had no business going to academically. And, I have great memories and met a lot of great people. And, you know, I am where I am today because of the game of football, no doubt.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And the game is great. You know, in the last episode, I talked about, you know, preserving the integrity of the game. You know, when we see some folks go astray in the game that we love, we have a duty to call them out on that, because this game has meant so much to so many, and it's precious. So, Coach, I appreciate that. I appreciate you taking the time. And yes, I did call you Coach. I want to wish you all the best in this game coming up, for your staff, for your kids, for their families, for your school. Just wishing you the best.
I appreciate that. Thanks. It was great catching up, and you're doing big things out there in the West Coast, man. Send some of that weather this way.
I'll try. You don't want none of the weather now. I just was out of power for the last 24 hours, so I won't send you any of that. But when it warms up, I'll send you some of that your way.
Sounds good.
But Coach, all right. Thanks. Appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Coach.